It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you who are listening. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. I really appreciate all of you and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday to you, Steve.
Well, thank you, ma'am, and back to you and our guest.
And our guest in studio is Alan Thomas. He is an author and a speaker, and he has written a very important piece. This is kind of a change my mind, a Crowder kind of thing, change my mind on, you said, the mistake of banning critical race theory. And you've done an op-ed on that, and I didn't just check. I know Zach was going to get that on the website. I'll have to see if it's on the website yet, but you'll be able to get that later today. Alan Thomas, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here, Kim.
And Steve, it is a great day. I've been looking for my sunglasses. And guess what? I left them here. Here they are. I am so excited. What a great day.
Jeez. Some people get really, I don't know. It's the little things in life, I guess.
It is the little things in life. Right, Alan?
Absolutely. Got to find joy wherever you can nowadays.
It is going to be a great day, I can tell you. So be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, if something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. It is never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether it's their rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. Steve, what do you think?
Oh, I was just going to tell you that Alan's piece is on the website. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for checking that.
I'm one step behind you here.
You're one step ahead of me is what you are. And Alan, I really think that your op-ed is really based in this idea of freedom versus force, force versus freedom.
Yeah, I mean, most all of the issues that we talk about here on the show is that, right? And it's kind of interesting how two people can have the same idea of not wanting force and yet have different ideas on how that gets enacted. And there is a gray area sometimes.
And the gray area has been exploited, I would say.
Absolutely.
Big time here in Colorado.
But I'm wondering if an issue will present itself. It'll be around us for years. But, you know, largely because of this issue with the public pretty much not aware of what's going down around them, and then it becomes critical mass. Here comes the force.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of force. I think the force had been somewhat subtle until we got into this whole COVID-19 thing. Well, actually, I think the Trump administration started to, I think, take the veil off or take the mask off of what has been happening for years and years and years under both Republican and Democrat administrations. We see it local level all the way up, is this subtle force, which is through what we now have, and that is a fourth branch of government, the administrative branch, the bureaucratic branch, that we don't vote for. We can't get rid of them unless we start to elect people that are dedicated on bringing back the American idea of representative government, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, instead of these bureaucrats that are unaccountable and unelected. What do you think on that, Alan?
Yeah, the so-called experts, right? I mean, that's kind of how they sell themselves, and that's how so many people like to quit thinking, honestly, because they can say, oh, well, the experts up in the CDC or the State Board of Education, those experts know what they're doing. They have my best interests at heart, so you know what? I'm not going to worry about this. I'm just going to hand off this critical thinking and logic and just listen to them and do whatever they tell me. It's easier to live your life like that than to actually care and actually get to know, hey, you know what? I'm going to use logic and critical thinking and reasoning to figure out what's best for my life, what's best for my child's education, and what's best for my local community.
Oh my gosh, this guy, he's dead on today. Now, the so-called experts, I got it drilled into me by a high school friend who's been in immunology now for 30 years. You know, she knows her stuff to a point. I questioned Fauci, and she pounced on me and said, wait a minute, you know, he was a hero back when AIDS was first breaking out, and, you know, he led the way. I said, well, that was 30 years ago. And now the guy's got 30 years of government, not so much corruption, but that crust is settled on him. And certainly he's certainly paid a healthy salary now. But he's talking out both sides of his mouth, the so-called expert.
Well, and to that, Steve, I've actually had listeners that reached out has said that Fauci actually probably was somewhat, and there's actually an article I'm looking at right now, AIER. It says that Dr. Anthony Fauci, while at the time was a rising star within the NIH bureaucracy, actually may have been duplicitous in the AIDS epidemic as well. So I would recommend that you do additional research and then have another, I assume this is a Facebook conversation that you're doing, right, Steve?
Well, person-to-person type thing. I would go to her with questions, you know, a year ago, the questions that you would a thinking person might have. And, you know, knowing her career, and this was the response that, you know, Fauci is the indisputed hero because of what happened 30 years ago. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. And again, I'm thinking that's probably where I'm going wrong here.
Okay. Well, I would recommend that you check that out and then maybe have another conversation with her, because I think that narrative may not be totally correct. And we're also seeing that the narrative that he is this hero through this whole coronavirus thing is not correct either.
What's the old saying? The shine has gone off this apple?
I guess so. So let's continue on here. America's Veteran Stories is on this Sunday, 3 to 4 p.m. and again 10 to 11 p.m. It's a really terrific interview. We interviewed Manert Kennedy. And he's a Marine veteran, and he was at the Chosin Reservoir, which is then the Korean War. And of the Marine battles, and there are many of them, the three most famous are Belle Wood in World War I, Iwo Jima in World War II, and the Chosin Reservoir in the Korean War. And Alan, that is, I really didn't know about that until I started to do this project. Did you learn about that at all in school?
I can't say I did. I'm going to listen in on Sunday.
Okay. The temperatures were 30 to 40 below.
Wow.
And it was about a 30-day battle. And it was 120,000 Chinese and 15,000 Marines.
The things that they do in defense of our country and what they just signed up and don't even know what they're going to get into is just amazing.
It is amazing. And that's why we have this responsibility to engage in this battle of ideas, because we too have an enemy that is trying to take down the country. But it's through policy, it's through taxation. That's really, and I think that it's a different battle, but it's a difficult battle as well, Alan.
And we each have to go where we're chosen, you know. They stand up for our country and in ways that I haven't chosen to enlist myself, so they stand up for our country in a different way, and I have the obligation to stand up for my country in the ways that I can, and that's through educating people and standing up against these issues, against these, as you unaffectionately call them, the PBIs and all these progressives that want to change our country for the worse.
Well, and they say they're progressives, but it actually is regressive, because it's going back to when you had elites, it could be a pharaoh, a king, or whatever, and then just all the peasants. And I feel like that's what this Harris-Biden-Rice administration looks at us like, is just all the peasants.
Right, our co-presidents, right?
Our co-presidents, that's for sure. It seems like they're codependent on each other. But anyway, check out America's Veteran Stories, and that is on Sunday afternoon. I am thrilled. Also on the website, as Steve just mentioned, I went over there and took a look. And yes, that op-ed is there, right there, the mistake of banning critical race theory. As well as, we are now selling tickets for Candid COVID Conversations, which is next Thursday. The tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee. We've got a panel. Ramey Johnson, who is a City Councilwoman out in Lakewood said, we need to be talking about this. And COVID is a real thing. We understand that. But this reaction and disruption and force that has been circling around this is somewhat concerning. And so we'll be talking with Priscilla Ron. She is the new state GOP vice chair. She's an educator. She's a former principal. She's a teacher. We need to talk about what's happening to our kids. Sue Kinfield is an expert in mental well-being, in resiliency. We'll talk about that. Matt Durkin was a candidate for Jefferson County DA. He's focused on keeping our community safe, and that is why he ran for DA. Unfortunately, the Soros-backed DA was elected, which I think ultimately will make our communities less safe. So remember, when you go to the ballot box, these races are super, super important. And he'll be talking about crime. I think violent crime is up 50% in Denver. And if you don't have a safe community, they talk about we want to have walkable communities. But if your community isn't safe, you're not going to want to walk around, Alan Thomas.
Absolutely not.
Having a safe community is so important. Dr. Jill Vecchio is going to be talking about the medical aspects of COVID, as well as treatments, the vaccine, and Ramey and I will be facilitating that. That's next Thursday, May 20th. You can buy your tickets at Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. This is not a Zoom meeting. We actually are creating a studio in my basement, and it's going to be pretty darn cool. So be sure and join us on that. Because we're going to be talking about race today, I thought the quote for the day would be Martin Luther King Jr. You know him. He was a Black American Baptist minister and activist who became the most visible spokesman and leader of the American Civil Rights Movement from 1955 until his assassination in 1968. He advanced civil rights through nonviolence and civil disobedience. He was inspired by his Christian beliefs. He was born Michael King Jr., but his father, after reading much of Martin Luther's writings, changed his name and changed. So they changed their name to Martin Luther King Jr. And this is what he said. He said, a man dies when he refuses to stand up for which is right. A man dies when he refuses to stand up for justice. And a man dies when he refuses to take a stand for that which is true. I think that really speaks to each and every one of us today with what is happening in our country, Alan Thomas.
Absolutely. And I think a kind of hidden part of that quote is truth and the discussion that our country continues to have about it. You know, a lot of the progressives, BLM, like to twist the truth and say truth is relative. Well, you know, truth is absolute. Truth is something we can discover and find and reason. And boy, it's tough to argue with somebody that thinks truth is relative or truth is whatever they feel, mm-hmm. right?
And I remember when I heard the quote, I have my truth, you have your truth. And it took me a while to realize just what you said. Actually, truth is a foundational thing. You can't have this, you know, waffling in the wind. You have to search for truth. And that is, I think, one of the basics of critical thinking is searching for truth.
Well, it's also harder, right? Sometimes there's uncomfortable truths. Sometimes there's truths that you don't really want to admit, either to yourself or about your country or about how you're wrong. It's a lot easier just to say, you know, I have my truth, you have your truth, whatever goes. That's a lot easier. That's the lazy way out. And I think a little bit too often in this country, we like taking the easy way out. We like just going with what feels good or what we want to do. Especially with, you know, AOC and some of those other crazy senators. It's just, you know what, whatever I want to do, I should be allowed to do. That's my truth.
And that is not the foundational truth of society, of America. And so, yes, in all this, the other thing, the word justice, we've seen the word justice a lot with the BLM movement. And justice is blind. That is why at the Supreme Court, Lady Justice has blindfolds on, because you really think about it. If a jury was sitting there or a judge was sitting there and they could not see the people in the courtroom, that is really what it's supposed to be like, instead of making judgments by the people's descriptors instead of the content of their character.
Right. And I'll sit here and I'll fully admit that our justice system has a lot of work that needs to be done to be fully blind, to really be able to listen to reason. But like you said, I mean, the Derek Chauvin case was a perfect example. One of the jurors was advocating on behalf of BLM and how to don't stand on his neck. I mean, how can you truly be blind and truly have justice when one of the jurors on your jury is actively promoting against you on Facebook in the year prior? I mean,
and
we need to fix these things.
And he didn't tell the truth about that.
Right.
And somehow that's not okay. You know, what happened up there is certainly tragic, but we have due process. We're supposed to have due process here in this country. But we're going to go to break here in just a minute. Dr. Jill is on the line. And before we do that, though, the bill of the day is Senate Bill 21-250. And it's all, it's all Democrats. Senator Finberg, he's been probably our star, wouldn't you say, as far as really terrible pieces of legislation, Steve?
He's been a busy boy for the last month or so. Every time I look at the bill of the day, whose name is at the top? His is always one of them.
It's Senator Finberg and Gonzalez and Representatives Lantin and Caraveo. And it's regarding elections and voting. And there's a lot in there. Just check it out, because there's a Gazette article that actually focuses on they want to make it more difficult to do recalls. But there's all kinds of different things, how it's changing our elections. And you know what, Steve, I think is probably going to happen is I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of corporate pressure here to move the All-Star Game away from Coors Field, because we have we are changing some of our voting laws here in Colorado. I'm sure that's going to happen.
Wow, this is the first. I mean, I thought it was set in concrete. This is the first I'm hearing that, but I will definitely be looking for things like that.
Well, I'm sure of it, because here we are in Colorado changing our voting laws, and I'm pretty sure, you know, Coca-Cola, they're gonna be leaving.
Who's one of the biggest? I haven't been at Coors Field for the last 3 or 4 years, but my last memory, one of the biggest advertisers out there in the outfield on the big bill scoreboard is Coke.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably going to be pulling their product from Coors Field because we're changing our voting laws. But be sure and check that out. That's Senate Bill 21-250. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Dr. Jill Vecchio, we're not going to be talking about COVID today, even though she's one of our panelists next Thursday. She's got a story that she's going to share with you that you won't want to miss. Stay tuned.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom, and we've got this great event that's going to be next Thursday night. It is a web event. It's our first web Salon Series web event. It's Candid COVID Conversations, and we've got an excellent panel. You can go to my website. Tickets are $5 plus a $1 processing fee, and it's going to be really interesting and a lot of fun. Before we get over here to Dr. Jill Vecchio, the Avs won last night. They are in the playoffs. And a great place to go watch the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have all kinds of specials, dine-in and to-go, if you want to have friends come over to your house. And, of course, you can have one of the services deliver it to your house as well. But go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. They have kids-eat-free specials, happy hour, all kinds of great things. Great time to get together with friends. Check out my website again and go to the sponsors tab. I recommend each and every one of those sponsors. Click on the Hooters tab and it'll come up with all the specials. We're going to jump over here to Dr. Jill Vecchio. First of all, Dr. Jill, I am so excited about our event next Thursday.
That'll be fun. It'll be good. And I hope people sign on, because it'd be really nice to have that kind of a conversation with a lot of good questions.
And we're not going to talk about COVID this morning, Jill, because there's something that's happened that has just broken your heart. And I know that you want to tell our listeners about that.
Well, and a lot has happened since you and I, since this first started. So there's some uplifting news as well. You had mentioned that Martin Luther King Jr. was an American Baptist pastor. My mother was an American Baptist pastor in a black church for 12 years.
Wow.
And tying to this, she worked with orphans in orphanages in Romania after the Ceausescu mess. After he was outed, she worked with orphans in Romania. So that brings us to my next-door neighbor, Barb Jenkins, who used to advertise on 560 KLZ. She was an audiologist and she retired. She works with orphanages in Africa, goes to Ghana frequently. Wonderful, wonderful person. There's a Congolese priest up in Fort Collins who introduced her and then me to an orphanage in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the DRC.
You said there's nothing
there to visit.
Yeah, you said there's nothing democratic or Republican about it.
Exactly. So it's a corrupt regime. It's horribly violent. One of the poorest countries in the world. Certainly one of the poorest in Africa. You can't go visit there because it's too dangerous. But they have these orphanages. Kids are abandoned, left on the street all the time. I'll make it a little faster. There are two little girls at this orphanage that need medical care, that can't get medical care, the care that they need in the Congo. So they said, can you help at all? Can you look at this x-ray held up to the sunlight and tell us what's going on and tell us what kind of care she needs? And I passed an x-ray around to some docs, and they connected me with an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Ron Hugate. He said I could use his name. Dr. Ron Hugate, who's a limb salvage specialist, had been in the armed services, had been in the Army. And he said, bring her on over here. It looks like it's an infection in the bone called osteomyelitis. She might need a couple of surgeries. She may need to be here for 3 to 6 months, but bring her over here because they wanted to amputate her arm. So in order to save her arm, she needed to come to the United States. The other little girl is literally starving to death, and they don't know why. She can't hold food down. And right now, the only thing that's keeping her alive is kind of twice a week infusions of Ringer's lactate, kind of sugar water stuff. She can't get any way. It's called failure to thrive. A pediatric gastroenterologist, Ted Stathos, with Rocky Mountain Gastroenterology, also said, bring her on over, who will take care of her. Both of these doctors were going to do everything for these girls for free. Then we get a call letter from Littleton Hospital, CEO Jeff Lawson, who's a wonderful guy. And he says, Littleton Hospital will cover all of the expenses for these little girls, all of their care, labs, imaging, pathology, whatever. We'll cover everything. They do a ton of mission work around the world. It's really great. So everything's covered. The girls, I have frequent flyer miles. I was going to use my frequent flyer miles for my trip to Africa to bring the girls over, and they're going to stay with me and my next-door neighbor, Barb Jenkins. We're learning French and Chaluba, the African dialect. It's everything's set up. They didn't get their visas approved. The visas were denied by the U.S. Embassy. This is true humanitarian aid. So we were just devastated. This was, day before yesterday.
Why don't they come down across the southern border? They're letting thousands and thousands of people in.
5,000 people coming across the border with no documentation at all.
Right.
These little girls had passports, visa applications. It had cost hundreds of dollars to go back and forth to Kinshasa, the capital, for these visits. And then the visa office, they visited there. It was the second or third time they'd been to the visa office to try and make sure everything was being done properly. We had documentation. We had letters from the hospital, the doctors, saying exactly what they were here for, how long they'd be here, just asking for a six-month visa. I mean, we thought we had everything covered, and they said, no, just a form letter says, we don't really think you met the criteria. They don't say what criteria we didn't meet.
Wow.
They didn't even look at the documentation we had.
Wow.
So I've been on the phone. Ken Buck's office has been very helpful so far, and they're going to help us out. I left a message with Jason Crow, Jeannie Lamborn and I had a wonderful Doug Lamborn's wife, Jeannie, who's, if people don't know her, she's a fabulous person, just a gem. And so she's going to help Michael Bennett's office. I put in a message to them, and I put in a message for Kim Christensen on Channel 9 because I've done some stuff with her in the past, and she just seems like she's just a wonderful person, in my opinion. That's where we stand right now. We need this expedited. Literally, this one little girl could die if we can't get her here.
Jill,
and, you know, we don't have months to wait.
Is there something that people can do to help you?
Yes. Number one, then everybody can do this. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but please say a quick prayer for us. It's amazing to me how many people just stepped up within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks of when we were approached to see what we could do for these girls, there were people lined up practically fighting to take care of these girls for free. And we're like, yep, whoever comes in first wins. It was overwhelming. We'd be sitting, Barb and I, my neighbor, would be sitting talking, and she'd get 3 phone calls. I have to tell you, the Catholic Church has an amazing network of incredible people. I'm not Catholic, but, man, I admire their system. It's just been this miraculous experience, and you feel like, oh, everything's fallen into place so smoothly. How could this not be kind of God-given, you know? How can this not happen? So when we got this news, it was just devastating. But then, you know, I started to think, maybe there's an even better plan in store. So.
Okay, well, right now, prayer is the main thing that you'd like on this, Jill, to cover. What's their little names? One is Sarah, right?
One is Sarah, that's the starving little 9-year-old. Okako is the girl that was going to stay with me with the osteomyelitis, the bone stuff, and she's 12.
Okay.
Okako.
How do you spell that?
O-K-A-K-O.
Okay.
And the other little girl was literally found in the street, abandoned. They don't really know how old she is. They figured she's 9, so they made up a birth date for her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, that's how it goes sometimes. They don't even, these kids are just abandoned completely. Now, Okako, the other one, has an uncle that has 2 wives, apparently, so he must be fairly wealthy, I think. I'm not sure what his religion or whatever is, but he could be tribal, I don't know. But she stays with him once in a while, and she does go to school once in a while. You have to pay extra for school. Otherwise, the kids don't get, they get what other education that the sisters can give them.
Okay.
So it's a very different thing, but yes, prayers. And if anybody knows any connections with media, with a State Department, if you have a connection with a congressman or a senator, please let me know. Don't be mean about anything. I think the reason that these visas were denied is because they're trying to avoid sex trafficking, child sex trafficking. You can't adopt children from the Congo right now. They suspended it. And one of the articles I read was because they were afraid that these children were being, like, adopted and then sold into trafficking. So that was one article I read. So I it's not confirmed on any official site or anything, but they suspended any adoptions out of the Congo, and a bunch of countries have done this. They're being very careful, and I appreciate that. They're being very careful about the kids being misused. But we had documentation from the doctors and hospitals, and nothing was going to cost the United States a cent.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
so
they were going to go back.
Okay, and I want to make this point: these kids that are coming across the border, many of them are being trafficked, and so we want to protect children for sure, but it seems like everything's upside down. These kids are coming across the border. People are coming across the border with no documentation. And yet here's these little girls to save their lives, and they have everything in order. It's mind-boggling. So, okay, prayer. Jill, how should people reach you if they have an idea on how to help you?
What do you think is the best thing? I hesitate to give my cell phone number.
No, I wouldn't do that. Maybe an email. Would that be good?
Yes, we can do an email. It's J, and it's Q, not G, it's Q, Vecchio, V as in Victor, E-C-C-H-I-O, at gmail.com.
Okay, and we'll put that in the recap as well. But again, that's J-Q-V-E-C-C-H-I-O at gmail.com. And my friends, say a prayer. As you're saying a prayer for Sarah and Okako, also say a prayer for America as well. Jill, thanks so much. I know you'll give us an update next week. I'm so excited about our event next Thursday night. Buy your tickets at Kim Munson. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And thank you for the amazing work that you're doing for these little girls.
Yeah, amazing work that everybody's doing. So, you know, man, this isn't just a, this has been a blessing, the whole thing, and I can't think that it's over yet.
Okay, keep us, and prayer is so important. So my friends, say a prayer for Jill and that team and these little girls. So Jill, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Boy, Jason McBride, Senior VP, Presidential Wealth Management. It's quite an amazing story. I hope that it has a happy ending on that, Jason.
Yeah, I think we all do, and I certainly don't have to belabor the irony of it. Like you said, we've got people streaming across the southern border, many of them unaccompanied kids. You've got the coyotes standing right there on camera, watching from the foothills, and yet with all the work that's been done with these two kids properly, they can't get in.
It's mind-boggling, and we're hoping for a happy ending on that. How's the market? Is there happy endings on that right now?
Well, we'll see. We still have one day left this week, but it's been somewhat of a rough week thus far, Kim. So far this week, the NASDAQ is down over 600 points through yesterday. That's about 4.5%. The Dow and the S&P are also down, but not quite as much. That's the Dow's down about 2% for the week. The S&P is just shy of a 3% loss. And the futures this morning are higher, but they seem to be losing steam. I just saw a few minutes ago the Dow futures were up 150. At this point, they're up about 84. The strength on the NASDAQ futures is fading as well, so we'll see what happens between now and the time the market closes, which is still quite a ways away. But right now, the market's working on one of the roughest weeks we've had for quite some time.
And many times, Jason, though, out of this, there is opportunity. And people need to assess their risk tolerance. I mean, it is off. You said the Dow's off 2%, the NASDAQ's off 4.5%. But they've gone to new highs. And so I think people need to realize that. And this is an opportunity to sit back, just assess your risk tolerance, maybe do I would recommend kind of a checkup on where you are, where we think we're going. We now have a clearer picture, if you will, of what the Harris-Biden-Rice administration is doing, and taxes are going to go up. And so I would recommend that people sit down with you and just do a checkup. It would be a good idea. How can people reach you?
Thanks, Kim. I think you're right. The best way to do that is just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. When we come back, we'll be talking with Alan Thomas. He has written a very important piece, The Mistake of Banning Critical Race Theory. And we're going to do a little Change My Mind because I kind of thought that was a good idea. So stay tuned. You won't want to miss the conversation.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we are selling tickets now. Everything's is working for our Candid COVID Conversations, which is next Thursday. And you can buy your tickets there. It is a web event. It's not a Zoom meeting. It is a real web event. So be sure and sign up for that. Alan Thomas is in studio. And during break, we were talking about Jill. And you've been to Africa, right, Alan?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, on several medical mission trips.
And it's heartbreaking there.
It just truly is. We take a lot for granted here, the fact that we can go to hospitals and see doctors. And, on several of my trips, we met people who had never seen a doctor in their entire life and had never been cared for by a medical professional ever and likely may never, ever again. The best way to help people is through wealth, is through capitalism, is through these amazing ideas, these amazing unalienable rights that all humans are created equal, and we have a right to our life, liberty, and property.
And Africa is rich in resources. America is rich in resources as well, but it's because of policy that they don't have the opportunity that we have here. And Alan, we are at the pinnacle of human flourishing here in America right now, if you think about it. And we see public policy that is, and politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, those PBIs, that are doing everything they can to make it harder and harder for everyday people to thrive and flourish. It's beyond reason.
It truly is. And it's this idea that if you can just throw enough money at it, or if you can just rely on the government even more, they'll solve your issue. And Africa is a prime example of how that's not the case.
So I think that segues into your piece here regarding critical race theory. And many of us have been asleep at the wheel regarding education. Kids, I know many people that sent their kids to college and they came back and they said, what happened to them? And many times the parents paid for the education and the kids come back and don't appreciate that and actually look at their parents as those greedy capitalists, and they don't realize that it's because of hard work and opportunity and taking risk is what actually created that wealth so that these kids could go to college and then come back and be indoctrinated to not like their parents or the American idea. And we've kind of continued on with that. I mean, what's happening up at CU is absolutely astounding, with the canceling of Professor Eastman, and now I think the faculty has voted or put pressure on to get rid of Mark Kennedy there.
Pretty sure the president is stepping down.
Yeah, he's stepping down, and so there is no diversity of thought in many of these colleges anymore. And a couple of things: if you're giving money to these colleges and universities, you better think twice, because you're giving money to people to teach kids to hate you. And so that doesn't seem like a very good idea. And parents, unless your kids are going into some of the real hard sciences, I don't think that I would spend all the money for them. And that's why that's why this whole student loan debt thing is a real problem, because then kids can go out and take on student loans. And again, kids, before you do that, you might think about that twice as well. So let's go to this critical race theory. Explain to our listeners what that is.
So I think I'll start out with kind of an easy part that we both agree on. Critical race theory is awful.
Okay.
Critical race theory is racism, is pretty overt racism in the guise of, we're going to pander to minorities so much that we are going to hate on other people. It's very much in the same line as the 1619 Project. That's just horrible revisionist history. And yet CRT and the 1619 Project are trying to be pushed down onto all of us. So you and I both agree those are terrible, awful things. I think article,
and basically what both of those are doing is really trashing our founding. This idea that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The 1619 Project says that America actually began in 1619 when the first slaves were brought over to America at that time. So they're really trying to trash the founding and create a founding that is based on race. And if you are not in that group, then they basically hate on, basically who they hate on is Caucasians.
Right. And you're essentially racist if you disagree with them, or if you think that the Declaration of Independence is this great pinnacle, is this goal to be achieved. You're a racist because you believe in racist documents, right? It really is a way to undermine a lot of the freedom movement and freedom thinkers, no matter what their race is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw Senator Tim Scott get dragged through the mud because he stands for these ideals and he wants to bring our country
ideals
towards mm-hmm. those founding documents. And he got dragged through the mud by liberals, progressives, and people who believe in CRT and the 1619 Project. So for me, the question was more, what inspired me is Tennessee passed a bill that banned critical race theory from being taught at a state level. And Republicans were rejoicing. They were saying, yeah, this is a good idea. We need to do it across the country. We should even do it at the national level, the federal level. And I really sat back and I said, is that a good idea? Is banning critical race theory, or really any sort of curriculum, any sort of idea, is banning it at a federal or a state level a good idea? Is that something that Republicans should get behind? Now, naturally, at the federal level, I think it's a little bit easier to buy into this whole idea that we don't want the federal government to be mandating or banning any sort of idea, any sort of curriculum across the country. America is so beautiful because it is so diverse geographically, racially, it's non-homogeneous, right? There are so many different issues all the way across the country that, federal mandates, federal bannings affect different parts of the country in different ways. I mean, a minimum wage law affects Mississippi, whose average minimum wage is way below, a lot more than it affects California, whose wages are pretty high, right? So any sort of federal mandate or ban really affects different states in different ways. So,
and that's not the proper role of government,
right? It's absolute. It's force, right? Mm-hmm. It's what you like to talk to. It's freedom versus force. And is that the proper role of government? Is the Department of Education the proper role of the federal government? There's a lot of people, a lot of freedom thinkers
say no.
Who say we should just get rid of the Department of Education. So if we want to get rid of the Department of Education, it kind of follows that the federal government should not be telling our kids what they should and shouldn't be learning. So then we step into the state level. Should states be mandating or banning? And I'm just going to say, when you ban something that's the same side of the or it's an opposite side of the same coin, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ban
it's a
something,
thing.
It's the same as saying, it's the same as mandating. Mm-hmm. So should states be able to mandate or ban something at a state level? So I went back, and of course, one of the favorite things several years ago back in 2010 was Common Core, right?
Mm-hmm.
Common Core came out of the Department of Education. It's actually Common Core States Initiative. So the whole goal was they wanted to pass this on to the states. They wanted states to adopt Common Core.
Which was a curriculum.
Right, which mm-hmm. was a curriculum, Common Core math, mm-hmm. the disaster that is. So how did they push that onto the states? Well, progressives aren't dumb. I will give that to them. Barack Obama proposed, hey, you know what? Let's start this race to the top grant process. Essentially, let's bribe the states into mm-hmm. adopting our standards. And Kim, I didn't know this as I researched for this article. Within the year, 41 states pledged to adopt those standards. And not only that, but Virginia and Texas also changed their standards so that they would be eligible for that grant money. 6 months in 43 states, 86% of our country said, you know what, Department of Education, we're going to do what you want because we want federal money.
We want the money.
We want the money.
And they don't have the money.
Right.
The debts was high then. It's much higher now, but we don't have the money. They were printing money for that, too.
Right. Later, the No Child Left Behind that George W. Bush proposed, the money for that, they then also tied to the adoption of the Common Core standards and curriculum. And so just very quickly looking at that, how easily our states are bribed into adopting curriculum, into forcing our kids to learn something, whether it's good or not. I mean, there were no studies done on whether Common Core would be a good thing, would be a bad thing. There was no ability for states to say, you know what, let's test it out, let's see. It was, nope, this is now the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado, it was, you now have to teach this if you want funding, if you want money, if you want federal dollars. And, you know, Kim, if states are so easily swayed by federal money, if they're so easily swayed by our federal government and the standards that they want, by bureaucrats, by PBIs who mm-hmm. are just coming up with this curriculum, I find it awful difficult to believe that I want the state in charge of teaching my kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right and responsibility of the parent to be in charge of the education of their children. We learned that mm-hmm. from the Honorable Bob Schaefer in LPR. Mm-hmm. So just beyond being the right, it is the responsibility of the parents to be in charge of the education of their system. So this is a local issue. This is something that parents need to be involved in at their local school board. It's not something that the state needs to be mandating from the top down. This is an issue from the bottom up. You know, if parents want critical race theory to be taught to their children, fine. You know, go to your local school district, your local school board, talk to your principals and teachers and tell them what you think. But on the flip side, we need to be going to our local school districts. We need to be going to our local school boards and saying, this critical race theory should not be taught to my child. This is something that cannot be done. And we need to be advocating at a local level because that's where the issues are actually known. You know, these local school districts, you're able to be known as a parent, as a child, to the school board. You're able to be known to the principal. You're able to be known to the teacher. We're able to know that, hey, you know what? This is the issues plaguing my neighbors, my friends, those that live around me. We need to change how we do things as a district. But when the state mandates something or when the state bans something, there's no longer that flexibility, right? There's no longer that ability for a local school board to say, you know what? That doesn't really apply to us. You know, Colorado's a great example. We have such rural districts versus very metropolitan districts. You know, what the issues plaguing Denver DPS are way different than my local school district mm-hmm. that had 300 kids in it, you know, Peyton mm-hmm. School District. The issues that each school district faces, you know, it's way different than Vail up in the mountains. They need the flexibility to adjust to what the parents want to be taught to their kids, what the issues that each district faces. And honestly, you're absolutely right when you said a lot of this has kind of jumped up at parents and kind of caught them by surprise mm-hmm. because too often we look at the state or the federal level as opposed to the local issues, as opposed to saying, you know what, I'm going to run for school board because our school board is doing an awful job. I'm going to go to the principal. I'm going to go to my teachers and say, you know what, no, what this equity training, this diversity training, this sex ed training is way off the books. It's way too far. We need to take the control back.
Well, and Alan, with this, there's only a certain amount of hours in the school day. And when you're teaching all of this over here, the sex ed and the critical race theory, our kids are not learning reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, and our kids are falling behind on an international level. We're going to go to break. Alan Thomas is in studio. We're talking about his op-ed, The Mistake of Banning Critical Race Theory. It's a very important conversation to have. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, Hal and Linnea Van Herke, they are entrepreneurs. And Castlegate Knife and Tool has one of the largest knife selections in the country. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. I'd recommend on one of these beautiful Colorado weekends to go down to Sedalia, check out Castlegate Knife and Tool, and then they've got some great restaurants down there as well. But they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And they are always expanding. As I say, they're very entrepreneurial. They are doing some custom rifles as well as this new watch selection. So be sure and check that out. It's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Alan Thomas. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. While you're there, be sure and buy your ticket for our web event, our Candid COVID Conversations next Thursday, May 20th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. And it's going to be, got a great group of panelists that are going to address these issues. So be sure and check that out. In studio with me is Alan Thomas. We're talking about the mistake of banning critical race theory. And Alan Thomas, you've said we need to get involved. And I always was involved. I did. It was just grunt work. It was Thursday folders. It was the information that went home to the kids. And you had to collate it and put it in these different folders. And I did that on a regular basis so that I was in the classroom, got to know the teacher to see what was going on. And I think it is really important to be involved in your kids' education. You said it's our responsibility. The progressives say, yeah, you may be a good parent, but think about all these parents over here that aren't good parents. That's why we, the government, need to step in on this. What's your thought on that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, that's the progressive thing. It's like we said, it's the so-called experts. I mean, Common Core wasn't developed by Joe Schmo. It was a bunch of people who have a bunch of degrees and a bunch of titles in their experts. And they said, you know what? We know how best to educate your child. You need to trust us. You need to do what we want. And you and I can both sit here and say, you know what? The needs of children is such a scale, is such a gambit. You know what? The needs that I had going through high school was pretty easy. I mean, I was a pretty good student. Learning came really easy to me. You know, there were others in my school that learning didn't come as easy to them. They needed a little bit different teaching. They had different needs.
And you want to have teachers be able to respond to that.
Right. As opposed to teaching to a test or having these standards or forcing teachers to teach something or to not even be able to step back and say, you know what, my whole class is behind. I need to step back and teach a little bit and bring them up to speed and then go forward. Mm-hmm. We're handcuffing our educators. We're handcuffing our school boards when you have these mandates from the state level up. So I know my title technically should have been why banning CRT from at the state and federal level is a bad idea, because school boards naturally are. There are going to be school boards that want to teach CRT and that are going to say, we are going to teach it. We're going to teach the 1619 Project. And parents need to have the ability to say, you know what, I'm going to leave. I'm no longer going to enroll my son or daughter in your school district. I'm going to go. And I believe that's why school choice is such a contentious issue, right? When parents have that ability to choose where their children go to school, all of a sudden we're taking back that ability to educate our children as opposed to handing it over to the experts, handing it over to the progressives who say, well, CRT should be taught everywhere. And it's encouraging. I've seen several articles and stories in the past couple months about parents starting to get behind this and starting to say, you know what, we are in charge of our children's education. There was a school district down in Texas where they were doing this diversity or equity training. I forget exactly what it was. But parents started coming to the school board and said, no, this is racist. This is very much in line with critical race theory. You're not going to teach our kids this. Stop doing this. And the school board basically said, you know what? You can go pound sand.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. This kind of got a little bit of national news because not only did the parents rise up and say, you know what, we're kicking all of you out, they swept the school board elections. But then they also said, you know what, why are we stopping at the school board? They also swept the city council elections and they won the mayorship in this town. And it was kind of from this idea of, you know what? I need to be in charge of my education. So we need to take that back. We need to be responsible parents that are involved in our kids' education. We can't just, you know, put them on the school bus and say, is your homework done? Good. You can have dinner. We need to actually be there and say, you know what? What are you learning? What are you being taught? Because that's when you're able to go, you know what? I don't think this is for me. I don't think this school district is meeting my child's needs, or even they're not teaching my child what they need to be taught. And I'm going to fill in all of the gaps. I'm going to teach them about freedom. I'm going to teach them about how to handle their money or anything like that. We need to be involved, and we need to take back this issue at the very local level, because mandating from the top down is just a terrible idea. It doesn't meet the needs of our children.
And we need to have the opportunity to be able to choose how our kids are being educated. And just bear in mind, when parents are involved, it does bring up the quality of that education for all the kids out there. Alan Thomas, I so appreciate you being in studio.
Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure. And be sure and check out my website. The op-ed is there, The Mistake of Banning Critical Race Theory at the State and Federal Level. We need to make sure we're involved on the local level. Our quote for today is from Martin Luther King Jr. And this is what he said. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And that is what we aspire to. So, my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.